Well, good evening to all. It's good to see you all. The lesson tonight is pointed at me. It's one of those lessons that I've been thinking about for a while that I need to improve on in my life. And I've got two lessons to give from it. So this night will be part one. A couple weeks I'll be back up here. That'll be part two. Tonight's going to be why. So we're going to answer the question why. Troy's got the PowerPoint on. I'm not going to steal from Brian's lesson. He's going to be teaching or preaching one of the first Sundays in January. He said he had kind of a New Year's lesson that he'd been thinking about. I'd also been thinking about a little bit of resolutions. I've resolved a few years to not do things. A couple years ago, I resolved to not eat any sweets all year long, except for five holidays, one of them being my birthday. And I was able to do that. I was able to make it through that year. The year before that, I resolved to not drink any sodas. That was a hard one. I like Mountain Dew. A lot of resolutions, when we think about them, are focused on physical health. I think that probably most of them would be focused something on the physical side. Oftentimes, I have started a year-long Bible reading plan. And that's what I want the lesson tonight to be on, is the importance of why it is so important to read the Scriptures daily. I have never been able to complete the Bible in a year. I don't know if anyone here has done that or tried that. But I need to focus more on my spiritual health than my physical. I've made resolutions for my physical before, but I know it is more important to focus on my spiritual. And this is not just a New Year's resolution. It's not something just to start in the new year. It's something that I've been trying to focus on more now. So this lesson is definitely pointed at me. A daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. Why is it so important? As I mentioned, we'll hit the why now. We'll look at the Scriptures tonight and we'll determine why it's so important to read daily, to study daily. I do think there's a difference between just reading and also a study. I think there's a little bit of a difference there. I think we definitely need to have that in our life. As I mentioned, I wasn't able to complete a goal. So I've been working and trying to develop a better plan to start this new year for me to reach my goal of reading through the Bible. I think I'm not going to try to read through the whole Bible. I'm going to do it a little differently. But that I'll present in lesson two in a few weeks. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." Some other presidents have passed. Abe Lincoln said, "I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. I believe it is God's word because it finds me where I am." Woodrow Wilson, "When you have read the Bible, you know it is the Word of God, because it is the key to your heart, your own happiness, and your duty." Theodore Roosevelt, "A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education." Ronald Reagan, "Of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible." John Quincy Adams, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." And I could get off on a tangent and talk about how nice it would be to have leaders in our country that thought that same way. But that last one from John Quincy Adams, I've made it, many years, made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. All these men speak about knowledge of the Bible, of knowing what the Scriptures say, and they realize that there is a need for that in their lives. Mm-hmm. My fear is that many people are more like me, and they haven't been able to accomplish reading through the Bible daily. Every single day, reading through the Bible. And so tonight's lesson is why. Why is it so important to read the Bible daily? I just have 2 points to bring out, and there are so many that I could touch on, but these two kind of hit home with what I want to go with tonight, and what it means to me as to why it's so important to read daily. And some of these I got from another sermon that I had been reading through when I was studying this, so not all these points are mine, but I've adapted them to my life. Why is it so important to read through these scriptures? Well, point one, the Word saves. The Word saves us. It is the knowledge of the Word, the Word put to action in our lives, that we can have salvation. And we are a lost soul. We need that salvation. We need that salvation from this world. And then point two that we'll look at is the Word comforts. And it comforts in many different ways. Through happiness, through peace, through joy. All those can be a comfort to us. I believe it was my brother-in-law John that had given a lesson, and he made a point in there, said, if you're seeking happiness, you're not going to find it. If you're seeking joy, you're not going to find it. If you're seeking peace, you're not going to find it. But if you're seeking God, you're going to find all those things. If we seek God, if we seek after His Word, if we know His Word, those things will come to us. Those things will be in our life. Happiness and joy and peace. Comfort. If we're seeking for those things without God, seeking for those things in this world, we're not going to find something that will endure, something that will sustain us. And so the Word comforts. Point one, the Word saves us. The Word is our salvation. In James 1 and verse 21, James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Receive that Word, which is able to save your souls. God's Word will save us. How does it do that? Well, it saves us because it will, one, produce a faith within us, a belief in Christ. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's one of our memory verses that Kevin's been working with us on. God's Word will save us by producing a faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith in Jesus, we cannot be saved. Without faith in Jesus, we cannot be saved. In John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 21 starting. And He said again to them, I go away and you will seek me. I will die and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely He will not kill Himself, will He? Since He says, where I am going, you cannot come. And He was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's so important to have a strong faith and belief in Christ. Without that, we cannot have salvation. And the Word of God was written to produce that faith. Through our studies, through reading the Scriptures daily, we can have a stronger faith. In John chapter 20, and through that stronger faith will be that salvation. John 20, verse 30, starting. And 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the absence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in His name. the things written down that we can study, that we can read, those things will help produce that belief in Jesus Christ. God's Word will save us, and it also points out that we must be born again. Through part of that salvation that's taught is how to become saved. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Through the Word of God, there in verse 23, we can be born again. Born again. That's what is taught to us that we need to go through. The necessity to be born. And John chapter 3 also speaks to this in verse 3 through 5. John 3, this is the story of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Reading these scriptures, we can gain an understanding of how we are to be saved. God's Word will save us. Back over in 1 Peter 1, ending that chapter up, starting verse 23 again of 1 Peter 1, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you." The Word that we have, the Word that is imperishable, endures forever. We can understand through a good daily reading of the Bible that salvation is ours. And not only does it save us once, but it continues to save us. It will keep us saved. Acts 20, 29 through 32, if we follow the commands and we stay right with God, we can have faith, we can have belief that God will keep His promise towards us. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." When someone tries to tear us down, when savage wolves come in, we need to remember where our faith and salvation lies, and that's in knowing the Scriptures and acting upon them. There is value in the Scriptures. There is value in the Scriptures. We need to recognize that. We need to study that daily. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, starting verse 14. "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." The value in the Scriptures teaches us in verse 14 and 15. If we can do it like as Timothy was instructed, to remember those things that we have learned, that we have read, we have studied from our youth, give wisdom to that, that will lead to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Hosea taught in Hosea 4:6 that when he was prophesying, that it was because of the lack of their knowledge of God's word, their lack of knowledge of God's law, that would lead them to destruction. And I think the same is true to us today, that if we don't know, if we don't act upon our knowledge of God's word, that will lead to our destruction. Point number two, that's point one, is it will save us. It's so important that we remember that every time we read it, that it is through the knowledge and the use of that knowledge that we can have salvation. God's word has the power to comfort us. Point two, Romans 15 and verse 4 can comfort us. Romans 15 and verse 4. Paul, using some old scriptures here, some Old Testament in his teachings. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I think the same is true for us today, that Scriptures of the Old Testament and also Scriptures of the New Testament were written for our instruction. For our instruction. That through that, that knowing those Scriptures and being instructed by them, we can have encouragement, we can have hope. God will keep His promises. He is the same Lord, the same God. He is persistent, and He will not fail. And His promises to us today is salvation, is comfort. And we can have that. We can have that happiness, that comfort from through our hope in our Lord. Because He will be able to keep His promises towards us. Comfort comes through happiness. I just have a few more verses to look at. In Psalm 1, the first Psalm, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. You get the idea, there can be a lot of happiness that will come from knowing the Scriptures and delighting in the Scriptures. And planting firmly near those waters of life. You see the idea of sustaining. God's word will sustain us. It will give us substance. Notice there in verse 2, in his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. Do you get the idea that he was studying, he was reading, he was meditating on God's law daily? This was a daily occurrence for him. It wasn't whenever he needed it or of necessity. Day and night, he was studying the law. He was studying what the law of the Lord was. We can also have peace. There can be comfort through peace in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 165. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. A very simple verse, straightforward. If we love the law, if we meditate on it day and night, as the first passage that we read in Psalms was, there can be peace given to us. And the list could go on. We could read through Psalms about meditating and reading the law and knowing the law and what all that can bring us. But there is peace, there is happiness, there is comfort. All these things come from meditating day and night on the Scriptures. Reading the Scriptures daily. And we can have that today. We can read through the Scriptures daily and have that same peace, that same comfort, that same hope. Because He is still our same Lord. This lesson's not very long. The next lesson might be a little bit longer. If we haven't developed a good habit of daily Bible reading, then we have developed a bad habit of not reading the Bible. If we haven't developed a good habit of every day reading the Bible, then we have developed a bad habit of not reading it daily. I wonder what it will be like to face the Lord on Judgment Day and to stand before Him and to proclaim, I have not read through your whole scriptures. I have not read through your whole Bible. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to face Him having never read His word that He left for us. And I think that should definitely bring a proper fear upon us. As I mentioned, it's near the end of another year. Time is on our minds now. Thinking back on what all has happened in this past year, did we develop a good habit of daily Bible reading this year? I can honestly say I did not complete a very good habit. I did not develop that good habit. I have not read the scriptures every single day this past year. Time passes us by so quickly. And we talked in Bible class this morning that we need to recognize the value of time. We are only here for a short while, as James 4 points out. Let's make the best of that time while we have it. Let's make sure we are developing good habits as good students of the Bible, good readers of the Bible. And I think from there we can develop better study habits and better study students of the Bible that are engaged in deep studies. We have to start with reading it. We have to start with opening that Bible. Over 98% of people in America own a Bible in their home. How many Bibles do we have? Do we read them? As I mentioned, my next lesson is going to point out how. It's going to be a how-to lesson. What I'm trying to work on as to how I'm going to develop a better habit to read it daily. Going back to our scripture reading, in the last passage, 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. The passage points out there in verse 2, desiring or longing for that pure milk of the Word. That pure milk of the Word. Longing or desiring. I think that's the point I want to bring out, the emphasis there. We need to long for it. We need to desire it. Like newborn babes, just that pure milk, that simple word, the simple truth, the elementary truths of the gospel. The gospel in its purest and most simple form. Simply opening up the scriptures and reading it. And we need to long for it. We need to desire that. As we pointed out earlier in the lesson, one of the things that reading through the scriptures teaches us is we can have salvation. And so I want to offer that invitation to any here tonight. If you're here tonight and you haven't received that salvation, we have read passages tonight that talk about, that pointed out what needs to be done. You need to be born again. You need to have faith. You need to believe in Christ Jesus. You need to obey the Scriptures. You need to put on Christ. Desire that sincere word of the truth, that milk of the Word, pure milk. If you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ, or if you've fallen away and you've strayed away from the Gospel, if there's anything we can do to assist you to get back right in a right relationship with God, I ask that you come as we stand, as we sing.